Hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a prayer guide for this week of prayer and fasting. If you're with us online, that's also available on the website, so you can go there. And this prayer guide is just a tool for you to use this week. It's going to offer you a key prayer point for each day of the week. Now, by all means, that's not the only thing we want you to be praying about. We want you to be praying about the things that God has laid upon your heart to pray for, but we're going to have one unifying theme for each day of the week. So as a church family, we're all praying for that one thing. There's also a few scriptures suggested there for you to look up and to read and let those minister to your spirit and encourage your faith. We want to just encourage you also to consider some form of fasting this week. For some of you, you're going to be able to fast all week long. For some of you, that's not really possible for you to do. And maybe you would want to like fast one meal a day or choose a couple of days this week to fast. And then also, every evening at 7 o'clock, beginning on Monday, so Monday through Friday, at 7 o'clock, we're going to have prayer right here in the worship center. So we're going to have worship, we're going to have different members of our staff will lead in prayer each night of the week, and then on Friday night, we're going to have our all-church night of worship. It's going to be a great week, and I really encourage you to pour yourself into this week, press into the Lord. We're believing God for great miracles in your life and for our church and our community and our nation. All right, well, turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 30. I'm going to give you two here. Isaiah chapter 30 and Matthew chapter 11. And while you're finding that, I did want to mention, apparently, we had a special guest here early this morning. And yeah, we've got some video evidence there. Apparently, Bernie Sanders was here. Doing some consulting with Alan Phelps about our AV here at the church. And so I thought this was really weird, so I did some asking around. And apparently he'd been around Bethel Church all week long. On Monday, he met with some of the members of the worship team. On Tuesday, he attended chapter 2, which I thought was kind of weird because that's a women's group. Wednesday, he had to go back to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration, but apparently he made it back in time to help with Royal Rangers. And then he finished off his week here at Bethel Church by sitting in with the worship team, doing a jam session with them. And so anyway, we had Bernie here all week long. Poor Bernie, he's been through it this week, hasn't he? Yes. If I were to choose one word that I think really describes the way so many people feel in our world right now, I think it would be the word exhausted. I just see so many people that it just feels like they're at the end of their rope. People are tired. They're stretched to the breaking point. They just feel so drained in a lot of different ways. Now, I'm not talking about just being tired, because how many of you know there is a good tired, right? Like when you feel like you've put in a good day's work and you got a lot accomplished and you go to bed at night and man, you just go to sleep as soon as your head hits the pillow because you're tired, but it's a good tired. So that's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is when we begin to buy into the values and lifestyles of our culture, and we start ignoring the red lights and the stop signs that God has put in place, eventually that's going to lead us to a crash. Our Bethel Church theme for 2021 is more than conquerors, more than conquerors. But one of the things that we need to understand that's a huge key to winning is to know when to rest, when to rest. So in your notes, kingdom people are people who find rest in the Lord. Everybody say rest. Kingdom people are people who find rest in the Lord. Couple of scriptures, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15 says this. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And then Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How many of you, just that sounds so refreshing to you this morning? Amen. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So I want to suggest to you this morning several types of rest that the Bible talks about. And it all starts right here. It all starts with spiritual rest. Spiritual rest. So what do we mean when we talk about spiritual rest? Spiritual rest takes place when we cease striving for salvation and put our trust in Jesus, right? We cease from our works-based salvation and we put our trust for salvation in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his." So this passage is talking about the works of the law. It's religious working. It's religious striving. It's trying to attain salvation through works. When the Bible clearly teaches us that those days are over, amen? That we are saved by grace and grace alone. So salvation comes, spiritual rest comes when we learn to put our trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our souls. We trust in him. Because our religious works, if not properly understood, can become nothing more than a striving after salvation. And they will always leave us with questions. Have I done enough? Am I good enough? Did I try hard enough? Did I give enough? But when we come to Christ, we cease from all of that, all of our religious striving, and our soul finds rest in Jesus for our salvation. Amen? Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 3, says, "What the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son, and so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." Yeah, this is what God offers when we trust in him, when we quit our striving for our own salvation and put our trust completely in Jesus. He promises us life and peace. And I want to encourage you, even as we enter this week of prayer and fasting, don't view this week as some kind of religious duty or chore. View it as giving yourself a gift. Giving yourself an opportunity to catch your spiritual breath and to rest in the Lord. If you can't come every single night of prayer, it's okay. We don't expect you to. Come when you can, right? And if you feel like, man, I can't stay the whole hour, come stay for as long as you can stay, right? This isn't a burden we're trying to add on to you. This is an opportunity to draw close to the Lord and to rest your spirit. Amen? Yeah, resting in the Lord spiritually. Secondly, God wants us to have physical rest, physical rest. From the very beginning of creation, God established a cycle of work and activity that needs to be balanced out with rest. And when we begin to push ourselves beyond these God-given boundaries, what happens is eventually we're going to collapse. The good news for us today is that God, He pursues us and He helps us get back into His rhythms for our life. Have you ever wondered why there's exactly 7 days in a week? I mean, why not 10? Why not 8? Why do we have a 7-day week? It's because that's the way God made it. At the very beginning of time, the Bible says, God worked in creating the universe for 6 days, and on the 7th day, God did what? He rested. Now, how many of you know God didn't need to rest because He was tired? Amen? Yeah. Don't mistake that scripture. When it says God rested, God didn't rest because He was exhausted, right? Because God has limitless power and limitless energy. The reason God rested is because He was establishing a pattern of life for us. God knew we would need to rest. Because guess what? You don't have limited power. You don't have unlimited energy, right? We have limits, and God knows that. So God established the 6-day work cycle, followed by a 7th day of resting in the Lord. And we got to pay attention to God's seasons, to God's cycles, to these God-given boundaries so that we can get the rest that we need. The Sabbath day is not intended, again, to be some legalistic burden upon us. The Sabbath day is a gift to us, a gift to us, so that we can get the rest that we need. Psalm 127, verse 2. Says this, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to His loved ones. Yeah. The Sabbath is a gift that God gives us. So we need that physical rest, but also we need mental rest, right? We need mental rest. How many of you know we live in a culture that is on information overload, right? Janice, will you give me, I forgot to bring my phone. Will you hand me my phone? Now, this thing, guys, this thing is a blessing, but it's also a curse, right? Yeah. And there are times we just need to unplug from this guy and get some mental rest. You realize there's more, that your cell phone has more computer power than the computer that guided Apollo 13. Right? Right here at your fingertips. And we've got information. I'm old enough to remember the day where you watch the news, you know, like a half an hour out of the day. Now we get news sent to us 24/7, right? Just all the time. Information. And then through social media, you got everybody's comments about what's going on in our world too. Now listen, I'm not suggesting that as Christians, you know, we stick our heads in a hole in the sand and pretend like life isn't going on around us. I'm just saying there is a time to check out what's going on, and there's time to give yourself a mental break. Come on, church. Amen? Yeah. We need it. You need a mental rest. We need time to unplug. Mental rest doesn't mean we stop caring. It just means that we start trusting God to take care of the things that we don't have any power over anyway. Right? I like this quote. I don't know who said it. I've seen it a few times, but I love it. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about the things that He can change. Yeah. Worry, fear, mental exhaustion. Yeah, we need mental rest. Now, you introverts are going to love this next one. We also need social rest. Social rest. Yeah. Sometimes we just need a break from people. Now, this is kind of a weird time, I admit, to be talking about this because most of us at this point, we are tired of social distancing. Some of you have been stuck at home for a long, long time and you've spent way more time on your own that's really healthy for you. You know, I get it. But also understand that as much as God loves people and as much as he wants us to love people, it's important that we have some balance in our lives and we understand that there is a time for us to get away from people and get alone with God. Okay? You think that's not biblical? Well, Jesus did it all the time. There's no one who loves people more than Jesus. Jesus does. No one loves people more than Jesus. But Jesus understood that he needed to have seasons of getting away and spending time with his Father. Luke chapter 5 says this, "The news about Jesus spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus," what? Often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Yeah. As much as Jesus had compassion on people and loved people and he taught people and he healed people and he was with people and enjoyed people, Jesus knew that he needed to get by himself sometimes to get refreshed because he understood this. He knew that if he didn't take time to be with his Father, to get alone with God, then he wasn't going to have anything to give to people. Right? He knew his tank was going to be empty. So there's times where we need to socially distance. We need to get with the Father and close out the rest of the world. And I also want to just throw this in. Because I think this is a good place for this. Not only do we need time to do this in our own lives, but there are some people that I would say are toxic people that we need to distance ourselves from, period. Right? Or we can just take them in small doses. But we all know people that are just so full of criticism and cynicism, negativity and gossip. People who are constantly spewing out negativity. They spend way more time fixed on what's wrong than the goodness of God. Amen? And that negativity and that cynicism and that lack of faith, it will wear you out. So there are people that you just need to spend less time with. I'll put it that way. For the good of your own soul. We need social distance. And then, social rest rather. And then also we need emotional rest. Emotional rest. Your body needs to rest. Your mind needs to rest. Your emotions need to rest too. Over this past year, I'll admit there's been times that my heart has felt like it's been through the spin cycle. Right? Just emotional drainage. And we need emotional rest. Marva Dawn writes in her great book about the importance of Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, we deliberately remember that we have ceased trying to be God and instead have put our lives back into his control. Concentrating on God's lordship in our lives enables us to return to his sovereign hands all the things that are beyond our control and terrifying us. Once those things are safely there, as long as we don't stupidly take them back again, our emotions can find truly comforting and healing rest. I love it. Resting our emotions. Learn to rest, church. I believe that this is going to be a year of great victories. Great victories for the church. Those victories are going to come at a price. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be warfare. I believe this can be a great year of victory in your own life. But if you're going to experience victory, you also need to learn how to rest, right? Prepare yourself for battle by learning how to rest in the Lord so you're ready for the fight, right? Learn when it's time to get alone with the Lord. Because the truth is, the result of violating our need for God-ordained rest will be burnout and fruitlessness. We just exhaust ourselves. We become ineffective. Jesus tells this amazing parable in Matthew 13 about the effects, the powerful effects of the gospel and preaching the kingdom of God. And he compares the preaching of the kingdom of God to different seed that's cast out on different kinds of soil. And in verse 22, it says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Okay? So this is what happens to us when we allow ourselves to get caught up in the world's values, in the world's tempo, in the world's systems. The good things that God wants to do in our lives begin to get choked out. It chokes the word, making it unfruitful. Listen, we can exhaust ourselves to the point of being unproductive for the kingdom of God, right? When we're always so tired that we can't make it to prayer meetings because we're so invested in everything else. When we're too exhausted to make a meal for a neighbor in need. Our tank just gets too empty and we don't have anything left to give. So I want to suggest to you today that God wants to restore kingdom fruitfulness to your life. God wants you to be effective for Him. He not only wants you to enjoy life and have the joy of the Lord, but He also wants you to become increasingly effective in your impact for the kingdom of God. He wants you to be a difference maker. But in order to be a difference maker, you've got to strengthen yourself in Him. You've got to learn to rest in the Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up, and I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads with me for a moment before the Lord. And I just feel impressed that at this point, we're going to share a little bit more, but at this point, I want to give an invitation. If you're here this morning or you're joining us online and you've not fully surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, and you know today that your heart is just not at rest, your heart is not at peace, I want to tell you it all starts with Jesus. And it starts with a full 100% commitment to Him. Trying to keep one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world is never going to work. In fact, you're going to wear yourself out that way. The only way to find rest in your heart, rest in your mind, rest in your spirit, is to give yourself fully and completely to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only one that offers eternal life, church. Never going to find it in this world. You're never going to find it in your own efforts. It's by putting your faith and trust completely in Christ. That's where your heart is finally going to be at rest. So I want to invite you right now to pray along with me. And I'm going to do this. If you would want to be included in this prayer, you want to fully commit your life to Jesus Christ today. Whether you're watching online at home or you're here in person, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you want to be included in this prayer, I invite you to just raise your hand, okay? When I get to three. And you're just raising your hand. When you raise your hand, you're just saying, Tim, today I want to fully commit my life to Jesus. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play religion. I want to fully commit my heart to Jesus. If that's you today, when I get to three, you raise your hand. One, two, 3. Yeah, God bless you. Others today. Tim, I need the Lord in my life. I need to commit 100% of my heart to Jesus. No holding back. Anyone else today? All right, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Church, would you pray with those that have raised their hand? Father in heaven, I bring my life to you today. God, I need you to take control. Today I surrender. I surrender my heart completely to you. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me. And I believe you've risen from the dead. Today, Lord, I give myself to you. Amen. Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise for touching people's lives today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's stand together. You know, there's a great story in the Bible, in the Gospels, that illustrates what I'm talking about today. And this story involves two sisters. One's name was Martha, the other's name was Mary. And they were actually sisters of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. Okay? So on one occasion, Jesus is at Mary and Martha's and Lazarus's house. And in Luke chapter 10, it says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Listen to that. Few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. You see, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, spending time with him, taking in every word, enjoying his presence. And Martha, she had a good heart. She loved Jesus, but she got distracted, right? By all the stuff that she felt like needed to be done. Now, Jesus doesn't rebuke her. She's got a good heart. It's just that she's busy doing the wrong things, right? And so I want to just encourage us today. There's nothing more important than finding time to spend with Jesus. Amen? There's nothing more important than that. So whatever it takes for you to block out time to be with Jesus, and this is a great week to start some new patterns in your life of learning to rest in the Lord and trust him. So we're gonna do a worship song, and here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to just invite you. If the Lord's speaking to you about something, you just need to lay it down at his feet today. You just need to lay it down at his feet and rest in him and trust in him. I'm going to invite you as we're doing this next song to come up to the altar. And you can kneel, you can stand, whatever's most comfortable for you. And let's just bring those things, step out from where you are and just say, Lord, I'm leaving this at your feet today, right? And I'm choosing to rest in you. So I want to take us back to the scripture I started with in Matthew 11. And we're going to put this into practice right now. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So as we're singing this next song, if there's something you need to leave at the feet of Jesus today, just come to the altar and do that. Say, Lord, I'm weary, I'm burdened. I need to find rest in you. I need to trust you with this. I need to lay this thing down, whatever it might be. Bring it to the Lord this morning.